Take your Bibles this morning, turn to Luke 22. Going to be in Luke 22 and verse 54, a story you're familiar with, some interesting things in this story. We'll talk about Peter's denial of the Lord, and then we'll see at the end where he's restored. Then when the Lord rose from the grave, he was born again. When this denial occurred, he was a Jew under the Old Testament law. All right, let's look at it. Luke 22, 54, and this, the title of this message, David, is The Devil's Fire. Warming your hand by the devil's fire. You got to watch out for that. In Luke 22, 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, with humble hearts, Lord, and mindful of your wonderful, amazing, marvelous grace, Lord, and how your grace has kept me, has kept every Christian, Father. And Lord, this flesh has a tendency to sometimes follow you afar off, Lord, and sometimes we'll want to warm our hands by the devil's fire, Lord. Keep us, Lord. Keep us from iniquity, from the wicked one, Father. And encourage us. As you prayed for Peter, Lord, I pray that as your promise, you pray for all those, Lord, that the Father has given you, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you for this day. Fill me with the power of God this morning. Fill this building with the Holy Spirit of God, Lord. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So in our story here, just a short time before this occurred, Peter had told the Lord that no matter, he said, "Man, I don't care if everyone else denies you." Lord said, I'm not going to. He was speaking pretty boldly, wasn't he? And earlier the Lord told Peter, Jesus said to him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. So they all said, "Oh, me too, we won't deny you either." In Mark's account it says the other disciples said the same thing. In Mark 14:31, it says, "But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." Likewise said they all. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, he says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Boy, that verse has been important for me. Got to be careful about getting lifted up in your spirituality. Man should not think more above what he should think about himself. Got to be careful when you start getting a high opinion of your spirituality. God's grace. By the grace of God go I, Paul said. He said in Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit," watch it, "and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." It'll get you. It'll sneak up on you. You'll smell that smoke coming your way from the devil's fire, and you'll start heading that way, and you'll start distancing yourself from your Lord. A Christian should not have any illusions as to what the flesh is capable of. Just when you think you'll never sin again, your flesh will let you down. Man, there's been things that I thought I had the victory over for years and years, and in a moment, that flesh will rear its ugly head, and God will have to remind me that all flesh is grass. God will have to remind me that outside of His grace, I'm still a mess in the flesh. That old nature rears its ugly head. And now in our story here, it doesn't say what happened to the rest of the disciples. It just don't say. They weren't even on the scene, it appears. And Peter is following afar off. We do know that when they took the Lord, we know that Peter was the one who cut off the ear of one of the soldiers that came after him. So, man, he was bold. Now, I've heard preachers say, and they may be right, that Peter got upset with the Lord because the Lord didn't just smite that crowd and come in and set up his kingdom. The Jews were always wanting the Lord to come set up the kingdom. And Peter may have been upset over the Lord's decision to submit himself to the cross. So Peter backed up his words here with some action and cut off the soldier's ear. Now, I've got to think that there was some dialogue after that occurred, because you would think it would follow that those soldiers would have jumped on Peter and would have arrested him right with the Lord. Don't that make sense? The only thing that I can think may have happened is the Lord entreated him to fix the guy's ear, restored it immediately, and the Lord may have talked him out of arresting Peter too. So Peter may have come to that moment in time where he had a little epiphany that, man, he's getting crucified. I'm going to go. Not sure where Peter's head was. Well, something was going on, and I don't quite get all of it. But no doubt the Lord had restored the man's ear and maybe convinced him not to arrest Peter for his assault on the soldier. We don't know that. It may have been that Peter wanted a fight. He wanted a fight and just disagreed with the way the Lord handled this thing by submitting himself to his accusers. So then here in our text, we see Peter, who probably escaped just getting arrested by the skin of his teeth, and he's following the crowd who took the Lord. But notice that he was following, this time, afar off. He wasn't right there in the mix with him. He began to distance himself. In Mark's account, it says in Mark 14:54, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. In Matthew's account, it said that he wanted to see how it ended. Matthew 26:58, but Peter followed him afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. So maybe it appears that Peter, after his close call with the soldiers, began to distance himself from his former position and closeness with the Lord. His former position of sticking with the Lord through thick and thin. No matter what, Lord, I will never deny thee. And he's sitting by the fire. In John's account, John said he stood up in John 18:25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. So we look at this story, and I want to look this morning at a few things that happen whenever Christians begin to warm themselves at the devil's fire. Brother Phil in Sunday school talking about forsaking sin. Forsaking iniquity. So Peter, no doubt, one of the greatest Christians in history, but he had to learn some hard lessons here while he warmed himself by the devil's fire. It'll sneak up on you. It'll get you when you're not expecting it. One of the first things to go, you know, when you start hanging out with the devil's crowd, one of the first things to go is truth. You have to deviate from the truth to agree with the devil's crowd, because he was a liar and the father of it. Was a liar from the beginning. He was the father of lies. So Peter thought he would fit in, but he really didn't. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. Told a big lie. Mark writes in Mark 14:66, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, art thou also, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again and began to say unto them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Peter began lying like a rug. Not only did his truth take a hike, the truth took the hike, but so did his talk. The truth left, and so did his Christian conversation, his talk. It says in Mark 14:71, but he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. What's that about? Peter lying and cursing like a 30-year Navy man. I guess he was a fisherman. Mark 14:72, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Matthew wrote this, he said, in Matthew 26:69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said to him that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. That southern accent's what got him. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. My. Peter found himself just a short time after his close bond and fellowship with the Lord, found himself warming himself at the devil's fire. The truth goes south, the talk goes south, and his testimony goes south. Oh, but that could never happen to me, preacher. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Listen, whenever you or I decide that we're going to warm up with the devil's crowd at the devil's fire, we can expect some consequences. The devil was too subtle for Adam and Eve, and they didn't even have the fallen nature. They didn't have the fallen nature when the devil showed up. Too subtle. But he was more subtle than any beast in the garden. So why do we think that we can mess with this crowd, with the devil's crowd, and not have some fallout? there's going to be consequences. Proverbs 6:27 says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Hey, I've had the devil go around my head like a four-way cold tablet. And I've had my flesh work me over like I'd been in a Mike Tyson fight. Come out second best. Watch out. I've not escaped without some scars. God's forgiven me. God gave me a ministry, but I've still got scars. This flesh will leave you with some scars. I've got scars all over me from this or that over the years. Not without scars. But when you decide you're going to warm yourself at the devil's fire, you'll lose your testimony. You'll lose your witness. You can lose your character. You can lose your reputation. You know, the Bible says for a Christian, there's five crowns that a Christian can earn. That's earned rewards that you get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with service. And the Bible says that you can lose those crowns. All you worked for, all the good that you did to glorify Jesus Christ, all the things you did, and just one night warming yourself at the devil's fire. Look out. Some of you here may have won every crown. There's a soul winner's crown. There's a crown for those who resist temptation. There's a crown of life for those who love his appearing. Crown of righteousness, crown of glory, crown of rejoicing. What did I leave out? Pardon? Yeah, loving those who love him at his appearing. Crown of life reserved for those also who love his appearing, looking forward to Jesus' return. But maybe for what? Maybe you've won all those crowns, but there's a soul winner's crown. Maybe for whatever reason you started serving God afar off. I mean, the more the world became distant to the Word of God and to the things of God, you just kind of leaned that way. Remember Eutychus? I heard a preacher preach, trying to think who it was. Preach said that Eutychus, before he ever fell out of the attic, he was probably leaning for quite a while. My. Maybe you've been leaning that way. Maybe you just underestimated the devil. You thought, well, the devil can't handle me. I'm strong-willed. I've got it together. I'm serving God. The devil don't have a handle on me. Isn't that what Peter said? Oh, though all men deny thee, I'll never deny you. Maybe you've underestimated the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. My. Those things are strong. Those are strong things to deal with. Many of us have fallen to those temptations. Hey, but whenever you start denying who you are to please the crowd that you're with, whenever the truth of God is lost in the crowd you're running with, whenever your life denies the Lord who bought you, you can look out. Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord had told Peter in Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. That's an interesting thing. What's that talking about? Well, remember that the Lord hadn't been crucified. Peter's under the Old Testament law. He's not born again because the Lord hadn't risen yet. Body hadn't been formed. But Peter didn't lose his salvation. What's that about? Well, how do you know that, preacher? We know that from John 17. John 17, remember the Lord in his high priestly prayer to the Father. Here's what he said. The Lord said, while I was with them in the world, talking about his disciples, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none is lost, except for Judas, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But according to the Lord, Peter didn't lose his salvation. Isn't that interesting? But it does appear that Peter probably lost his discipleship. I didn't say it wasn't restored, but it looks like he lost. Now, where do you get that? Mark 16, 7. Remember when the Lord comes up from the tomb and he says, go tell the disciples. He says in Mark 16, 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Duh. Peter's one of the disciples. If Peter still had a discipleship, he would have said, just go tell my disciples. But he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. What's that about? That he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him as he said unto you. Now we know that Peter denied the Lord three times. Now, he was converted after the Lord rose from the tomb. He was converted, he was born again, but it's kind of interesting, and I've heard preachers preach on this, that as Peter denied the Lord three times, that's why the Lord told him over there three times to confess him. Peter, lovest thou me? Yeah. Lord, you know I love you. Peter, then feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me? Ask him three times. Some preachers say, well, the Lord made him confess three times, then the Lord restored him. He denied him three times, he confessed him three times. I don't know. I don't know if that's how that works. I don't know, but it sounds good. It works for me. Warming by the devil's fire cost Peter a lot. It's one of those things that we say in addictions, it'll take you further than you wanted to go and keep you longer than you wanted to stay and cost you more than you wanted to pay. The Lord said this in Revelation 3:11. We talk about a Christian that earned all those crowns, lived such a good life, and decided to follow afar off for a while and then warmed at the devil's fire. The Lord said in Revelation 3:11, said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Yeah, you can lose him, it appears. That'd be a sad thing. A sad thing. My. Why don't we make a decision to draw away from the devil's crowd, this worldly, carnal bunch, and get our closeness back with the Lord? Why don't we just rededicate ourselves today to the Lord? And he's the one that bought you. He's the one that owns you. Be a good time to rededicate ourselves to him. Maybe you, like Peter, you've just been starting to follow him afar off. You can't give him an inch. He'll take a mile, that devil will. More subtle than any beast of the field. Why don't you do that today? Peter, one of the greatest Christians in history. If it can happen to him, it can happen to me. Pray for your preacher. Pray for each other. Get back with the Lord. Lord restored Peter. The Lord has restored me time and time again. Won't you rededicate yourself this morning and draw closer to Him. God loves you. I want you to live a victorious Christian life. And you do that by giving up on the flesh and trusting in the Spirit. You can all stand up this morning. Trust in Him. Trust in His precious grace and mercy. David said, I will cry unto God Most High, unto God who performeth all things for me. Let God do it for you. As we sing, what page, Brother Jeremiah?
Number 308.
308.